Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The U.S. Supreme Court recently heard oral argument regarding the FDA's approval of the drug mifepristone, the abortion pill drug that is now available by mail order. A huge case. We're going to be continuing to watch this case as we filed a brief on that matter, and we'll talk about it today on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Yeah, Matt, we had the U.S. Food and Drug Administration versus Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine. Along with Danko Laboratories versus Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, they took those two cases, consolidated them, and heard both of them during the oral arguments recently.
Yeah, over the last 8 years, the FDA has relaxed numerous restrictions, making it easy to access the drug mifepristone, most notably by illegally allowing mail-order delivery into the hands of pregnant women without an in-person doctor visit. Now, this particular chemical abortion is easily available, and we just recently saw a report on a news station out of New York, in fact, out of New York City, with respect to a doctor's office there. New York City passed this abortion shield bill that allows telemedicine to be operated within the state of New York. And so consequently, before that particular law was passed, these doctors in New York were prescribing this abortion pill to primarily blue states. That's according to their own statement in this report. Now, after this abortion, shield law was passed, these abortionists are sending out pills into the red states, places where abortion and abortion drugs are restricted or even banned. Some of the states that they said that they were sending out the most pills to on a monthly basis are Texas and Florida. They began at 4,000 pills per month after their telemed shield law was passed. And by the end of a short period of time, they were already at 10,000 pills per month. That's 10,000 abortions that they are sending out across the country at an extraordinary rate.
That's 10,000 babies that were killed and many women that were harmed. Regarding this case, you look at what the FDA did. It made an exception regarding its safety criteria. It initially approved the drug in 2000. And then in 2016 and 2021, it made several changes, including allowing the drug to be used during the 10th week of pregnancy rather than just the 7th week. And that allowed healthcare providers who are not physicians to prescribe the drugs and allowed the drug, as you mentioned before, to be prescribed through telehealth appointments and sent through the mail.
Yeah, and what's amazing is this report that just came out, and this is just one clinic, where you have these states that are passing these pro-life laws, and you have half of the states that are passing these pro-life laws post the Dobbs decision that ruled Roe versus Wade unconstitutional, overruled it, saying there's no basis in the Constitution for abortion. Now all of these states have been passing laws to protect the unborn, to protect the sanctity of human life. And what is happening is these now abortion doctors are sending pills into states that where it is illegal to have this kind of an abortion.
Right.
This ought to be stopped, but they're doing it in a brazen fashion. I mean, the interview that we just saw before this program, they were talking that they were trying to get around any of these restrictive laws, and they were doing it by sending abortion pills through telemedicine across the United States, 10,000 a month. And that quickly jumped from 4,000 to 10,000. That's why the Supreme Court needs to put a stop to this. This telemedicine with regards to the abortion pill, you don't need an in-person doctor visit. The FDA ignored the safety signals in this particular case, and they have continued to press forward with this rule that allows abortion. And that's what allowed. That's what brought this case before the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, and you have to look at chemical abortions were 63% of all abortions in 2023. 63%. But what's really tragic is that between September 28th, 2000 and June 30th, 2021, 4,207 adverse events were associated with these chemical abortions, and that's only what was voluntarily reported to the FDA. I'm sure there were many more, but that included 26 maternal deaths, 97 ectopic pregnancies, and 1,045 hospitalizations. So whatever Planned Parenthood is trying to tell these women, the chemical abortions are actually less safe than the surgical abortions.
And the FDA knew all of this.
Exactly.
The FDA continues to push it because of the Biden administration and the previous administration under Clinton. It's under Clinton when the abortion drug was originally approved at
right.
the very last of his presidency. So he could push that through the FDA without proper safety standards, with safety signals already raising red flags, but the FDA ignoring it. And so under those presidents
right.
of Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and then Biden, you have this drug easily accessible. And it's their way to try to get around all of these laws that are being enacted in these states that are protecting the sanctity of human life.
Right. But just let me note, there is no such thing as a safe abortion, whether it's chemical or surgical. There is no such thing.
Well, we filed an amicus brief in this case, as we did in the Dobbs decision, and the Supreme Court cited our amicus brief. We filed on behalf of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, which represents about 42,000-plus Hispanic evangelical churches across the country, and then also the Frederick Douglass Foundation, an African-American foundation or organization. And our argument was that abortion has always been racist and eugenic, and also focused against those with physical challenges or disabilities to try to eliminate certain categories
right.
of races or people. And today, 86% of Planned Parenthood abortion facilities are in or near minority neighborhoods.
Because they have been the primary target going all the way back to Margaret Sanger.
Yeah, and Sanger's eugenics legacy is clearly visible with the advent and use of mifepristone, the patent for mifepristone. Get this, belongs to the Population Council. That's a nonprofit public health research organization with deep ties to eugenics. When the eugenics movement fell out of favor with the fall of Nazi Germany, John D. Rockefeller III in 1952 founded the Population Council as a means to continue advancing eugenic population control, but under different guises, it still uses today, such as reproductive health, reproductive choice, and family planning. It's the same population control.
Yeah, you can just change the name Population Council to Population Control. That will tell you everything.
Yeah, so after decades of funding and researching population control programs, the Population Control Council received the patent to mifepristone. The drug was developed by a French company, which later donated the rights to the drug to the Population Council after the company was unable to find a buyer for the drug. And with the opportunity now for an inexpensive and widespread abortifacient drug to further its mission, the Population Council facilitated clinical trials, obtained FDA approval in 2000, and identified a manufacturer. And during the FDA approval process, the Population Council transferred the rights to produce and distribute mifepristone, or RU486, to Danco Laboratories, a secretive and obscure entity formed in 1995 in the Cayman Islands in return for undisclosed royalties. Danco Laboratory then used the Chinese pharmaceutical company to manufacture the compounds for the drugs. But this Population Council that goes all the way back to John D. Rockefeller III, Margaret Sanger, Theodore Roosevelt, those individuals were eugenists. They were part of this formation of the Population Council in 1952. It now owns the patent to mifepristone and is making untold millions and millions and millions of dollars
mm-hmm.
from this abortion pill mifepristone that is being used to circumvent state laws regarding the sanctity of human life, to kill children and to harm women.
Right, and you don't hear the mainstream media talking about any of this because they certainly don't want to inform those women who stood out in front of the Supreme Court the day of this argument, you know, protesting against this. They don't understand this was created to destroy their families.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. I mean,
their children.
Abortion has always been founded in a racist eugenic ideology,
right,
to eliminate certain categories of people. So those that are out there protesting, you know, it's your category of people. It's your friends. It's your neighbors that it was and is designed to eliminate from the human population.
It's nothing about health care.
Yeah. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/life, and pray for the ultimate decision from this Supreme Court case. It will be decided, handed down by the end of June of this year.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.